everyone, and welcome to Daily Newspaper Analysis, which is brought to you by LawSeco. So today we have two articles for our discussion. The first one is from the Hindu newspaper, which is titled as The AUKUS Alliance Debates. So this actually talks about the AUKUS, which is the Australia, UK and the US alliance, the meet of which recently took place. So what are the prospects of this in the coming times, and how such regional groupings would be, you know, is actually different from various regional groupings like SAARC and others, of which India is the member. So we will be discussing that in detail. And the second article is from the Indian Express, which is titled as Nobel Prize for the Science of Touch. Now, as we know that two scientists, we will definitely know the names. They have been given the Nobel Prize for the medicine. So basically that is for the science of touch, that is for pressure and heat that the skin feels. So what is it all about? We will study in this article. This newspaper analysis is presented by me. My name is Sheva Khan. I am a law graduate and I had completed my law degree from Uttaranchal University with a gold medal in my badge. I have also been a national debater and a public speaker, and here at LawSeco, I'm working as the current affairs expert, and alongside I'm also managing the current affairs vertical. Also, you can find me on my Twitter and LinkedIn handles. The links to both are available in the description box below. With this, let's start our discussion for the first article of the day, which is about the AUKUS Alliance debates. So recently, the Trilateral Security Alliance between Australia, that is A for Australia, UK and US, was announced on September 15th, 2021. So this has revealed the hazards of group diplomacy. Let's see when we talk about the SAARC, that is the South Asian Association for Regional Cooperation. So what has been the stake for India in this grouping? So India had two reservations regarding SAARC. So when it was joining the SAARC, it had two reservations. Firstly, that if it would not join SAARC as a member, it would seem that India is against the regional cooperation, which definitely wouldn't send out a very good and positive signal. And secondly, the reference of security in the draft charter of the SAARC. Now, as we know, if we take example of Quad, let's say, of which India, Australia, Japan and the USA are the members, it clearly mentions that it is not a security grouping, rather it's for maintaining peace and better movement and cooperation in the Indo-Pacific region. But on the contrary, when we talk about the draft charter of the SAARC, it actually had a reference of security, and that is why there could be a chance that just like, even though the charter does not mention, the Quad is many a times called as the Pacific or the Indo-Pacific NATO by China. So there could be similar, you know, issues that could have arisen with the case of SAARC as well. Still, despite the conditionalities laid, SAARC became a liability. Now, why are we saying that? Because in a lot of situations, the very purpose for which actually SAARC was brought into the very existence, that has not been solved. Specifically becoming as India also became a platform for India bashing by Pakistan. Now, this is the biggest problem, because in several meets also, it has been seen that if India is participating, so no one from Pakistan participates, or if Pakistan is participating, no one from India participates. So the very purpose of cooperation and coordination and coming at a single common platform, that completely gets destroyed and defeated if at all two most important nations of the SAARC grouping do not come at one ease and at one discussion. So India did not attend the last SAARC summit, as I was just mentioning. So here we are actually in search of the agenda. So what happens is that it is one of the most difficult tasks is to identify the agenda of these groupings as to what is the real agenda. Like here also we can say that even Quad, the draft of the Quad does not mention anything of security purpose, but still it is assumed by China to be a kind of a Pacific Indo-Pacific NATO, which is actually a security grouping. So that is why the real purpose of these groupings is very difficult to be identified. Secondly, the United Nations agendas now cover everything from human rights to the UFOs. So like it's basically a statement given in here that the agenda, when we talk about the United Nations, it has become so wide that it really becomes difficult to streamline as to one specific purpose or one specific agenda of a particular grouping. So the same happened with the Commonwealth when the United Kingdom started reiterating the agendas of the United Nations, and similar problems were faced in BRICS as well, where China gained control. So this basically hurts the others, as well as India, South Africa, Brazil had unrealized goals. Now due to this, what happens is that all the energy and all the discussions, they go in vain, and instead of coming in onto a particular discussion and getting some, you know, speed in the right direction, rather, it is all tottered and it is all scattered in various directions. So here also, the BRICS has been there on the Afghanistan recent crisis as well. So in the last BRICS summit, Taliban gained sympathetic glances from Russia and China, which was surprising, but though it was looked upon at by sympathy from Russia and China. Pakistan naturally sounded triumphant from such considerations, even though Pakistan had not really been doing any considerable, things to actually either improve the situation in Afghanistan or to make sure that it is not becoming a haven for the terrorism. So, however, Imran Khan is aware of the humanitarian crisis that looms over Afghanistan, but still there cannot be seen any significant positive role that could have been played by Pakistan, keeping in mind how influential it was, keeping in mind its terms and relations with Afghanistan, but still nothing of that sort is being seen. And finally, China being unpredictable yields little fruit to India, and China meeting frequently is also a very, it's a difficult and an unpredictable task. And specifically, if we discuss about or we think about the situation which India and China have been sharing for more than a year now, keeping in mind the tussle on the border lines along the LAC, which is the line of actual control, with more emphasis, we can definitely say that China is, unpredictable, and that is why we cannot really rely just on China as our reliable neighbor. So that is why we need to have stronger connections with Pakistan, Afghanistan, China, Nepal, Bhutan, Bangladesh, and all other neighboring countries that India has. So let's see, talk about India in other strategic alliances. So India has now restored to alliances like the BIMSTEC, which is the Bay of Bengal. It's a multi-sectoral, it's a multi-technological and, a kind of a grouping that, is a very important one, where South Asian nations have come together with the exclusion of Pakistan. Now, please note here that Pakistan is not a member of the BIMSTEC. And the BIMSTEC is now the new SAARC, basically, with ambitious plans for sectoral cooperation, and that is actually kept exclusive. Exclusive of the Pakistan's membership. On the other hand, India is yet to be a member of the nuclear supply group, that is the NSG, and the Asia Pacific Economic Cooperation, both being active groups. And let's see that in future India would maybe or maybe not join these groupings. And to these groupings, we can also add the name of the RCEP, which is the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, which India had to join, was about to join, but in the final stage of the talks, it actually dropped off and it did not finally join the grouping. So basically, we also, just as in the beginning of the article, we were discussing about the Quad AUKUS debate. So basically, the Quad had a blooming friendship with India, but India refused until China became a threat. So earlier, India was not very much, agreement to become the member of Quad, but when it thought that it is important for India to maintain its say in the Indo-Pacific region, and keeping in mind the increased influence of China over the entire region, coming right away from the South China Sea, so definitely India thought that it would be a good and viable option in the coming times that India becomes a member of the Quad. Now, the continuous rejection from India drove US to find new member states for alliances. Now, France's reaction to AUKUS has not thrown everything to turmoil. Now, new alliances will be built owing to the US trend of collective bargaining for power accumulation. Now, this is one, idea that the US has been following since ever, that it actually believes in collective bargaining for power accumulation, and believes, just like we have it in the NATO, which talks about the collective defense, that the attack against one country would be considered or would be defended by all the countries together. This definitely gives more power to you as a nation. So here also, if we talk about the Indo-Pacific region, though India is a primary power, or the queen, which is we call as the of the Indian Ocean, but still India, if at all any urgency occurs, is not alone in any kind a fight. We have the US, we have Australia, we have Japan that would be taking a stand in favor of India, since they all stand together as a member of the Quad. So it also stands that India can reform its stance in various groups after a thorough check, and definitely that should be done, keeping in mind the requirements of the coming times, the territorial changes that India and other countries are making with each other. And that is why let's hope that in the coming times, all of these regional as well as international and other kinds of groupings, they actually find their goal in the right time, and they're able to achieve them with all the right kind of membership. With this, let's discuss the second article for the day, which talks about the Nobel Prize for the Science of Touch. Now, why at all are we calling it as the Science of Touch? What is it all about? Who has been given the Nobel Prize? Let's see it through the article. So David Julius and Adam Patapoutian received the Nobel Prize for uncovering the science of touch. So together, basically, they have discovered the receptors of temperature and touch, which basically enhances the pressure. So let us see that what it is and how it actually works. So similar to the mercury in the thermometer, so just like we have said, mercury is very much sensitive to the temperature, and as soon as the thermometer, you know, has any heat reception, so in that situation the mercury rises up its level. So just like the mercury in the thermometers, certain proteins in our body can perceive the temperature. Now these proteins then relay the information to the brain. So one after the other, just like a relay race, they pass on the signal to the brain, and finally we are able to receive the signal that our body has come up or is facing some kind of temperature or a kind of a touch or a pressure. So scientists were always aware of the existence of such sensors, but this is for the first time one has been found. So obviously we already knew that the skin basically is, you know, one of the sensory organs, and we can basically, you know, it is actually, we can sense through the skin. So we always knew that there must be some receptors that send the signals to the brains, but who or what are these receptors in the real sense was not discovered till date. And that is why David Julius and Adam Patapushan, they've actually discovered this, and that is why they have been awarded the Nobel Prize for Medicine. So the mechanism of these sensors is basically that the exposure to specific conditions of temperature makes the protein send signals through the nerve to evoke appropriate response through the brain. Now these signals are sent in the form of calcium ions, and the different sensors are sensitive to different range of temperatures, of course. So these sensors are capable of detecting temperature and pressure changes inside the body too. So the pressure changes are important for the bodily remedial functions of urination, blood pressure changes, and other abnormal activities inside the body. And that is why the agents that control the signals of pressure and temperature that reach out to the brain, these agents have been discovered for the very first time by these two people. So here are also various therapeutic implications of this particular discovery. Firstly, it serves as an improvement in the way we fight the diseases in the body. Secondly, the identification of these receptors open up the possibilities of regulating them as well in case there is any kind of abnormality in any given situation. Third, the most advantageous outcome is to make the receptors observe less pain. Yes, exactly. See, what actually, it is not the skin or the, you know, the agent that is giving us the pain, or just the brain that is feeling the pain. It is these receptors that are carrying the signals, and so the brain, you know, feels the, you know, it commands the body to feel pain. If at all, now since we have discovered who these receptors are, we can definitely communicate with them through medicines, and we can definitely reduce the pain in any kind of a hurt or a wound or a situation, any kind of this problem. Now, this would help the patients who suffer from chronic pains like arthritis as well. And this opens a new pathway for the new generation of painkillers as well, which could be lesser, you know, could be harsher in a less harsher than the previous ones, and could be more effective than the previous ones. And this will definitely help treat cancer and diabetes too. So that was all for the day. We hope it was a good and informative session for you all. Thank you so much for staying tuned with LawSequo. Do not forget to catch the podcast description for the very same analysis at Spotify, Google, Anchor, as well as Apple Podcasts. Also, if you wish to download the PDF of today's slides, you can join our Telegram channel. The link is given in the description box below, and you can scan this QR code that you can see on your screens right now. Also, for other crisp content, do not forget to follow us on our official Instagram channels for Judiciary, Clat Prep, UGCNet, and LawSequo Finance. Thank you so much.